you ever found yourself casually saying a word or phrase that you've heard your whole life, only to find out it's offensive, even racist? We will talk about some of those words and phrases this hour and wonder if we should stop using them. So be forewarned, you may hear some offensive language on this program, but it's meant to be a learning opportunity, not a slur or an insult to any individual or group. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, November 21st. And we aren't talking about the N-word this hour. And no one needs to call in with well-known racist words or terms. We are talking about words and phrases that are still used frequently, but few people know their origins or their offensiveness. If you have a question or an example for our guest who wrote a piece on some of these offensive words and phrases, call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Christina Sturbins. Christina is a reporter for Business Insider. She received her journalism degree from S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. And she is the author of 11 Racist and Offensive Phrases That People Still Use All the Time, which appeared at businessinsider.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us. So,
absolutely. Thanks so much for contacting me.
How did you come up with this idea?
Before I begin, I'd just like to mention I'm just getting over a cold, so you'll have to bear with me. My voice may be a little shaky.
Thank you for joining us with a cold. It sounds fine.
Okay, great. It's funny because one of the phrases that I included on the piece was rule of thumb, and it was included as a bonus because, based on my research, this phrase doesn't actually have an offensive or sexist, you know, history like many people think. A judge back in the day claimed that you could be able to beat your wife with a stick no wider than your thumb, but it turns out that the phrase has been in use since the 16th or 17th century, and it just sort of developed a negative connotation. And that was one of the phrases that one of my editors mentioned to me, and he said, oh, you should write a post on this. And it was just interesting that that turned out to be one of the ones I sort of debunked.
Interesting. So the word or phrase that started this all really doesn't have roots that are racist or offensive.
Yeah, that's correct.
What is where did rule of thumb come from then?
It was originally used by, I think, it was an established proverb in the 16th century. William Sapphire wrote a op-ed in the New York Times. He's a well-known wordsmith all the way back in 1998 and sort of debunked this claim, but there are still papers reporting that it's a, you know, offensive phrase that came from Sir Francis Bueller, who was a judge in the late 1800s.
Yeah. And the other, the 11 that you did find, how did you find those?
I'm actually surprised how little research I had to do. I actually do quite a bit of etymological posts and grammar posts for Business Insider. I'm kind of a logophile, and I just sort of found my niche on the site that way. But, there are etymological dictionaries online. There's the Oxford English Dictionary. Even Wikipedia can be a really good source if you track the original sources through the footnotes. And most of these I had actually never realized came from racist histories or in some way offensive. And a commenter on our website actually pointed out that I had used the word uppity in one of my previous articles. And, you know, I willingly admit that I didn't know about most of these, and I was very surprised how little research I had to do to figure it out.
Yeah, well, let's talk about uppity. That's one that I've used too, I believe, and I even see there's a popular blog in Wisconsin that uses the word uppity. Why is that offensive or racist?
Well, during segregation, Southerners used to use uppity to describe blacks who didn't know their, socioeconomic or place in society, or weren't mannerly, you know, doing things that were considered outside of their class at the time. And the term actually originated within the black community, I believe, according to an etymological dictionary resource that I use. But, racist population in the South adopted it pretty quickly and started to refer to blacks as that.
Yeah, and you note that one example of it being used, Rush Limbaugh talked about how Michelle Obama was booed at a NASCAR event because she had exhibited uppityism.
Yeah, he talked about her love of arugula, which is, you know, pretty uncommon vegetable. I can't possibly comment on whether Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, who defended him, knew the origins of this term. I didn't, and I don't think most people did, so I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think that it was just an unfortunate circumstance that, you know, Michelle Obama happens to be a black woman, and that was a very opportune moment to use the phrase.
And so again, it was during segregation, Southerners used uppity to describe blacks who didn't know their place.
Yes. Yeah.
So the other one that I've heard on Wisconsin Public Radio from listeners who didn't maybe know its origins, and it's the word gyp. And another one that's similar to that that's not on your list is people will use the same phrase, which gyp means, has come to mean, you know, a swindle or somehow
cheat
somebody. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people use the word Jew, as in I got a better price. I bargained for a better price, so I Jewed them down on price.
Yes, I have heard that also.
Yeah. So what's the problem with that?
Well, I tried to avoid terms that were very clearly racist, such as Indian giver or Jude. I mean, those contain words that are pretty well known as offensive, and I didn't think that I would be informing readers of anything if I included them on the list. To me, when I hear the word, oh, you Jewed me out of this, I cringe. It's very obvious to me that that's not something we should include in our vernacular anymore.
Right. And Indian giver, too. But yet you still hear that from time to time. But the ones that are on your list are maybe more frequently used, and no one really realizes they're racist or offensive. So gyp, what is the origin of gyp?
Well, it most likely evolved as a shortened form of gypsy, which, if we're being, you know, PC, is more correctly known as the Romani, which is an ethnic group originally from Europe. And because the Romani typically traveled around a lot, they made their money by selling goods or bartering, and, you know, business disputes naturally arose because of that. And I think sometimes people were not pleased with the end result of it, and they started thinking of the Romani as swindlers or cheaters. And thus, gyp became a synonym for swindle or cheat that we now use as a pretty common verb.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about some examples of offensive or racist words and phrases that are still used in everyday conversation, and people don't realize that they're offensive or racist. Maybe you have an example. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, November the 21st, we are talking about offensive words and phrases that you may not realize are offensive or racist. Our guest is Christina Sturbins. She's a reporter for Business Insider, and she wrote a piece on this recently. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming maybe some examples. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we'll take our first caller, Victor in Milwaukee. Hi, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. One example I have, and this example got a presidential candidate in trouble for saying it because he directed it toward black people in his audience, is the term "you people." And, you know, probably 20 years ago, nobody wouldn't have been offended by it, but I guess it was the way it was directed toward this group that's what raised offense. And if a white person happens to say "you people" to black people now, it becomes offensive.
Right, and I'm aware of that, but can you give us a sense, Victor, why that is offensive?
If you were there, and I've been in situations like that before, you have to been right there in the situation to get a feel for it. And I can understand why it would be offensive. I personally won't be offended by it because I know, you know, what is to be offended by, but I can understand why, because it was the way it was directed. And you just have to have a sense, you have to be there to get a sensible reason why it was offensive.
Yeah. And did you have another example?
Another one is, I'm going to change this one because this was a better example, is the term "cracker." Now, if you're not amongst black people to hear this, I hear it frequently, but if you're white or outside of the communication circle, you wouldn't even know this, the word "cracker" was offensive. But again, this came out during the Zimmerman case. One of the prosecution witnesses used that term, and that inflamed some people.
Yeah, that was, I saw that one on another list. It wasn't a list, Christina, that it wasn't your list, but that was on another list, and that was offensive words we can do without, and "cracker" was on there. Any comments, Christina, on "you people" or "cracker"?
Well, I think the problem with "you people" isn't just within the black community, but when any majority, you know, whether it be race or cultural group, alienates a minority in that way, you know, it's hurtful. It's never nice to feel like the outsider. So I can understand what the caller is saying in that situation, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as for "cracker," Rachel June Teal was the witness during the Zimmerman trial that brought that up, and she attributed it to Trayvon Martin. He called Zimmerman a cracker on the phone, saying, "Oh, this cracker's following me." And she, you know, fought back when she was called a racist witness and combative, and said, "That's not a racist term. You know, it's something that we use in Florida." And unfortunately, I don't have any expertise in that area, but it's interesting that, you know, conversely, there are words that we use all the time that no one realizes is offensive, and then there are words that seem offensive that may have evolved that aren't anymore.
For example, here is another one that I did not have any idea. Now that I read your piece, Christina, I can see where this comes from and why it would be offensive. "Sold down the river." Victor, does that say anything to you if I say someone was sold down the river?
If you said it to me, I can, you know, I understand, and I've read history. I know exactly what that meant. That means that's a betrayal. And I've used it. And what that means is somebody betrayed your trust. They turned their back on you, or, you know, they lied on you, or they, you know, told on you. It could be several meanings, but that's
right.
A term that I've heard frequently.
Exactly. That is, you've got the exact meaning of the word. But, Christina, the origin is one that we may not realize where this comes from.
Yes, the meaning is, you know, quite literal, and it has a much darker origin. during slavery, slave masters in the North, if their slaves were misbehaving, they would sell them down the Mississippi River to plantations in Mississippi where the conditions were much harsher. Even during the era of slavery, northern states tended to, treat blacks and slaves just a little bit better than in the South, oftentimes. So if you sell someone down the river, you're literally sending them south down the Mississippi River.
So, Victor, does that change that phrase for you at all?
No, it doesn't. Personally, it's not offensive to me because, to me, it's a phrase that hits home. Somebody,
I guess that was a betrayal, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I mean, and it's still used because, for instance, you're a black employee and you're working for somebody white, and say, like, I got accused or maybe been accused of doing something wrong, and somebody tells on me, well, I say, look, you sold me downriver. You got me fired.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, Christina, are you... thanks a lot, Victor, for joining us. Is the point of the piece just to be a learning opportunity to let us know that these words have these origins and could be or are racist or offensive? Or are you saying let's drop these words from or phrases from our vocabulary?
Well, Joy, I think that answer varies depending on the word. For example, like Victor just said, sold down the river, his home with him, and it is a betrayal, and it's almost fitting for the situation. But yet, using the word, using the itis, as I mentioned, to talk about the sleepy feeling you get after you eat, or using uppity to describe somebody, whether they be black or not, I think that we could absolutely do without those phrases. Why would we pepper our language with words with such a dark history?
Talk about the itis. What is the itis, and why is that offensive?
The itis was actually one on the list that I had heard of, and it's probably one of the worst, I would say. My friends and I, when we, have a huge meal or something, we talk about we have a food coma or something like that, and it's the sleepy feeling that you get after you have way too much, for lunch or dinner. And I've heard to it referred as the itis, and it comes from a little bit longer version, the N-word itis, and it pretty much directly alludes to the stereotype of laziness associated with blacks.
Yeah, we could certainly do without that. Well, here's another example. Marianne in Milwaukee. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I am wondering, I grew up in a rural area of Wisconsin, and the term was always used, call a spade, which is a shovel in my environment. I moved to Milwaukee and used that term and was told by other people that that was referring to black people and that that was offensive. I'm interested in what your guest thinks.
Christina?
That was actually a phrase that I researched for the piece, and I decided not to include it for reasons much like rule of thumb, because while a spade is definitely a derogatory term for an African-American, I don't believe that it originated as such. I don't have the direct origin in front of me right now, unfortunately, but I think it was much like something like rule of thumb, where it was an established proverb, in the 16th or 17th century. And, with our country's history of racism and segregation, it just developed as such. So I chose not to include that. And, I think that much like the word niggardly, which actually has absolutely nothing to do with a slur, But if you use it in a situation that can conjure bad feelings for people, I think you have to make that decision whether you're willing to take the risk on your own.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marianne, for that call. There was another piece in our research that mentioned the spade a spade, and it does say that the phrase what does it say? The phrase primarily indicating to explicitly connect with a little something by its rightful identity has, well, it goes on to say it has no racial connotation in any respect. It didn't have that, but because it, you know, because of the racial slur spade, it kind of took on that meaning to some. So thank you, Marianne. Judy emails and says Eskimo is an example. This is not the correct name for an actual people. That's right. You put that on your list too, didn't you, Christina?
I did. And it received a lot of backlash, actually, because there are many organizations in Alaska that refer to themselves as, you know, the Eskimo, you know, coalition of something or that type of thing. But based on my research, it comes from a Danish word borrowed from Algonquin. I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation, but Ashkimek, which means eaters of raw meat. And I can see why a people wouldn't want to be compared to a population who eats raw meat.
We are talking about some racist and offensive phrases that people still use all the time and don't realize they are racist or offensive. Our guest is Christina Sturbins. She is a reporter for Business Insider. We'll continue after we check the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Have you ever found yourself casually saying a phrase or a word that you've heard your whole life only to find out that it's offensive or even racist? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, November 21st. We are talking about some of those frequently used but not well-known racist and offensive phrases with Christina Sturbins. Christina is a reporter for Business Insider. She received her journalism degree from S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University, and she is the author of a piece we found on businessinsider.com, 11 Racist and Offensive Phrases That People Still Use All the Time. She suggests that we could easily abolish these examples in everyday conversation. And we'll wonder what you think. We'll wonder if you have some examples of your own. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And again, we are talking about words and phrases that are offensive, but people don't know they're offensive or racist. Everyone knows that the N-word is a racial slur, so we're not looking for that kind of example. Let's. We have callers and emails, but I wanted to, Christina, talk about a couple of the others that are on your list before we move on. Hip, hip, hooray. What in the world is offensive or racist about hip, hip, hooray?
Fairly controversial. There's a lot of research, proving this and disproving it, so I included it, cautiously. But the first part of the phrase, hip hip, might relate to the Hep Hep riots, which were anti-Semitic demonstrations that started in Germany in the 19th century and spread across Europe. And Germans reportedly cheered Hep Hep, which could have evolved into hip hip as they forced Jews from their homes across Europe. And where that comes from is most likely the acronym HEP, hep, which comes from a Latin phrase, Hierosolyma est perdita, which means Jerusalem has fallen in Latin. And the Crusaders, with little proof, unfortunately, may have used it as a battle cry.
Yeah, so spell it out. So we shouldn't use this because it has, an anti-Semitic reference?
Yes, I think so. And, you know, I don't think that hip, hip, hooray is really used very much anymore at all. If it is, it's just mostly hooray.
Right.
And that part of the phrase is actually fine. I included in the piece that it just comes from a version of huzzah, which is something that sailors used to shout when they were excited or celebrating.
Here's another phrase. It was a rhyme from childhood. I remember this one, and I remember that a certain word was changed in it. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah, I was shocked to use this actually because you know, when you're on the playground, you know, when you're a kid, it's the way that you choose who's it when you're playing hide and seek, or you know, who gets the last playground ball or something. It's so steeped in our childhood language, and it was shocking to me. So the rhyme that everyone knows is eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. But tiger actually used to be the N-word in the rhyme. And Rudyard Kipling wrote about it in one of his books called Land and Sea Tales for Scouts and Guides. It was a counting out song. It was a way, like I said, for people to determine who was not going to be a part of the group.
Mm-hmm. We have, let's go back to the phones. We have Debbie in Fenimore with us. Hello, Debbie.
Hello. I had never heard this one before, and when I first met my husband, we were making supper, and one of the items was potatoes. We sliced them up and cooked them in a frying pan. And he said he liked his potatoes a little bit Irish. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, half done. Well, I'm Irish, and I took that to mean half done, half baked, not quite all there. And I still take it that way, but I had never heard it before.
I actually haven't heard it either. Was that is that an insult to the Irish then?
I took it that way. You know, someone's half baked, someone's half done, not quite there.
Yeah. What about that, Christina?
You know, I don't have any direct evidence of that, but you know, I could speculate that it could also be a reference to poverty in the Irish community. You know, maybe they didn't have the means or the time to fully cook their potatoes.
Right, yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that, Debbie. I actually hadn't heard of that. Let's go next to John in Green Bay. Hello, John.
Good morning. I have spent some time working in the Pine Ridge Reservation of the Oglala Lakota tribe, and the French gave Indian tribes on the plains the name the Sioux. And the phrase the Sioux refers to the snake. And the Plains Indians are generally not happy being referred to as the Sioux for that reason.
Did that come up in your research, Christina?
It didn't, actually. And I'm from Ohio originally, and one of my favorite ginger ales is Sioux City Ginger Ale. And I'm not sure if I'm going to drink it anymore.
Well, maybe you have an example of a word or a phrase that is still used all the time that people don't realize is offensive or even racist. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Or maybe you don't use the word or phrase yourself anymore after you learned it was offensive. Chris on Facebook says it might also be illustrative to discuss phrases that people think are offensive or racist, but are not, or at least makes the claim clear. Well, you did offer one at the very beginning. A rule of thumb was a word that your editor and others thought was offensive, but your research showed it really was not.
Yes, and I also mentioned one earlier in the show, the word niggardly. And I think a politician got in some pretty hot water for using that recently. And, you know, like I said, obviously it has a similar sound to a highly offensive racial slur, so you have to be careful when using that. But it actually doesn't have anything to do with race.
What about number 7 on your list, hooligan?
Hooligan comes from, there's speculation to suggest that it actually evolved from a real Irish last name, Houlihan. There was a popular pub song about this rowdy Irish family, and also an author, Clarence Rook, claims that there was a bouncer in Ireland named Patrick Houlihan, who was rough with his customers, and he was also a thief. So, you know, whatever the case, somewhere an Irish family landed a pretty bad rap.
Our guest is Christina Sturbins. She is the author of a piece that appeared on BusinessInsider.com, 11 Racist and Offensive Phrases That People Still Use All the Time. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you have a word or a phrase that you think is used maybe too often, because it is actually offensive or racist and not very many people know it. We've gone through a number so far this hour: the itis, uppity, jip, hooligan, Eskimo, sold down the river, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and hip, hip, hooray. Do you have another? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, November 21st. We are talking about offensive or racist phrases that people still use all the time, not knowing, perhaps, that they are offensive or racist. And we're welcoming your questions, your reactions, your examples at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is a reporter for Business Insider who wrote a piece on this, Christina Sturbins. We have John in La Crosse who says, language changes over time. Words lose their meaning. If a person uses an offensive word unknowingly and a person hears it without knowing the original meaning, is it really offensive? What do you think of that, Christina?
I think that the whole point of minding what you say is to avoid offense. And like the email said, if neither party understands you know, where the phrase comes from, obviously you're not offending anyone, but it doesn't take away the history and meaning behind the word. These phrases originated because of racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, homophobia. And if you can be made aware of that and make an informed decision whether to eradicate them from your vocabulary, I think that that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, and now that we know. Number 3 on your list, had no idea, peanut gallery.
This one actually surprised me. My mom uses the phrase all the time. You know, when I was younger and I would chime into something that I had no idea about, she would go, "Hey, no comments from the peanut gallery."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it had originated on the Howdy Doody show, because that's what the audience of children used to be called, the peanut gallery. But there's evidence to suggest that it was the cheapest and worst section in the movie theater. I'm sorry, in a theater during the vaudeville era, when, you know, vaudeville occurred at the same time as the effects of the Jim Crow legislation, and many blacks were forced to sit in that area. And I didn't include this in the piece, but I got a couple emails from people who read the article, and they said they've also heard that peanuts, which weren't really thought of as a, you know, a classy snack back in the day, were also the only thing sold in that area, and thus it got the name Peanut Gallery.
Oh. Well, let's back to the phones. Molly in Milwaukee. Hello, Molly.
Hello. Thanks for having me on. I wanted to bring up something that I heard in college, and I'm ashamed to say I never actually looked it up, but I heard it from a friend of mine who is a very educated in Jewish scholarship and history. It was a class about Jewish philosophy, and I made some joke to him. He's a rabbi, about my mashiksa, so I wouldn't know. I don't know if people are familiar with that term, but it's a term that a lot of people use to refer to non-Jewish women, their shiksas. And I've heard it all the time. And actually, as I said it, he good-naturedly said, you know, you shouldn't call yourself that. The origin of the word is Hebrew, but it means vermin.
Oh.
I was really surprised because I'd heard it. I hear it everywhere.
Yeah, I don't hear the word everywhere, but it's interesting that it was commonly used and it means vermin. Yeah, so you stopped using it, Molly?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Did that one come up at all, Christina?
No, Molly, I've actually never heard of that. I'm surprised.
Thank you for the call. Sandy in Wyawega is with us. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. One of the phrases that I had been using that I didn't realize was offensive until my husband pointed it out was the phrase, what incarnation, when you're, you know, making an exclamation about something. Apparently, my husband says it means back in the slave days, the slaves were living, you know, out back in tin sheds, and they used to call that tarnation. You know, it's something that you hear on the Western shows all the time, but I never realized it was offensive.
What incarnation? Sure, that, you know, maybe not used every day, but it is sort of an old-fashioned exclamation, and I had no idea. Did you, Christina?
I haven't heard of that specific meaning, but I think I've heard that tarnation is sort of a bastardization of damnation. So, you know, when you're saying what in tarnation, I thought that it meant, you know, sort of like what the hell.
Maybe your husband's not correct. We should look it up.
Maybe not.
And in fact,
okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Well, just if we have time, maybe I'm not sure that Christy Taylor, my producer director, has time to look up tarnation. Whether there is anything that has an explanation, maybe Sandy's husband wasn't right on that one. Let's see. We have Barbara who emails. Apparently, calling an African American person articulate is offensive. After hearing an informative, knowledgeable, confident, and succinct speaker, I was asked by another individual how I liked the presentation. I stated how impressed I was with the content and that I found the speaker very articulate. I was immediately called out and told how offensive that word is to the African American community. Really? She asks. Well, that came up with Joe Biden calling Barack Obama, or I think it was Barack Obama, articulate. Do you recall that story, Christina?
I do. There was a very long New York Times column. I believe it was called the Racial Politics of Speaking Well. And unfortunately, I'm sure the meaning behind why the phrase articulate is offensive was discussed, but I can't recall it. But yes, Joe Biden did refer to President Obama as articulate, and it was a big deal.
Yeah, I think in part it was like that was such a surprise that an African American would be articulate because, again, the thought being that usually they're not, so it would be an insult. You know what I'm saying? No,
I do understand. I'm curious to think if associating offensiveness with the word articulate is almost the opposite of the intention, you know, because it's pointing out the fact that maybe Black people aren't always articulate, which is completely false.
Right. That's what I mean. Bill in Milwaukee. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Joy, and I'm quite the verbivore. I love this conversation about the way we use language. I heard that when Americans go to England, they can really stick their foot in their mouth by calling things bloody, because they've heard the Brits say this, but I heard it came from Australia that it actually means the blood of Christ, and that this is profanity. Is that true?
Well, you don't have that one on your list, so I'm not sure.
No, I'm not aware. I try to stick to things, you know, that would be offensive in the U.S., but, you know, it doesn't surprise me that might be true.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Bill. Anna in Harbor Springs. Hi, Anna.
Hi. When I was in one of my cultural linguistics classes at the university, my professor explained that when the white man was on his travels meeting Indians, they would, after a time, they would want women. And so they would point to their nether regions to try to explain what they wanted. And the Indians, and I don't know which tribe, I can't remember which language, said squaw, meaning penis. And the white man took it to mean woman. And so we have this word, squaw, which is, you know, it's the name of things like Squaw Valley Ski Resort and, you know, various places, not to mention the term was used, you know, infinitely to refer to an Indian woman.
Right. I know that there was an effort to change the names of places that carried that word squaw because it was insulting to Native American women in particular. Again, Christine, I'm not sure if you were able to research that particular word.
No, but surprisingly, I actually have heard of that argument. Peter Pan is one of my favorite movies. I used to watch it all the time as a kid, and you know, there are Native Americans and Native peoples portrayed in that film, and they use the word squaw. And my brother actually told me that probably wasn't the best thing to say.
Yeah. I think the last one on your list in our final minute here, paddy wagons.
Yes. Again, much like hooligan, this is a phrase that could potentially be offensive to the Irish. You know, it's a personal thing, I'm sure, if they would be offended by this. But paddy, you know, originated as a shortened version of Patrick, naturally. You know, it's a pretty normal name for an Irishman, but it became a sort of a pejorative term for anyone of Irish descent, you know, like, oh, there's that paddy. And wagon naturally refers to a vehicle, so paddy wagon, you know, either means a police car or a vehicle used to transport prisoners, and it either stems from the large number of Irish police officers in the U.S. or the perception that, you know, these rowdy, drunken Irishmen were always getting arrested and would end up in the back of these vehicles.
Yeah. Well, in our final 30 seconds, did the reaction to your piece, did you get any more that you might be doing part two?
Actually, this conversation, all of our great callers have pointed out some things to me. So a sequel is definitely a possibility and maybe in the works.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely, Joy. Thank you.
Christina Sturbins is a reporter for Business Insider. Thanks to Robin Cherry and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.